Today, as we enter into our last message in the series on everyday discipleship that goes with the life group experience, I hope that you've benefited and maybe taken something away from what it means to be an everyday disciple, to follow Jesus every day. That's what we've been talking about. We've tried to break it down to make it as really as simple as we can. And today is such an important wrap-up to this whole concept, and I hope that you'll take something significant away. But what I'd like to do to start is take us back, if you would, to the 2008 Summer Olympics. The 2008 Summer Olympics. So kind of play back in your mind what was going on, what was happening there in Beijing. And you probably remember, if you watched the pool events, that was Michael Phelps winning 8 gold medals in the 2008 Olympics. It was an amazing year for him. On the track, Usain Bolt ran like lightning, quite literally, as he set world records in the 100 and 200 meter for Jamaica. And yet, in the midst of all this good news and excitement, there were some things that probably people might have wanted to forget. As we went into the Olympics, the U.S. relay teams, track and field relay teams, were once again, as almost always, expected to do well, certainly challenged for a medal, if not for the gold. And in one fateful night, both the men and the women experienced tragedy on the track. In the 4x100 relay, Darvis Patton, handing off the baton to Tyson Gay, ended up dropping the baton. And in that one race and a qualifier, they ended up not being able to move forward and had no chance for a medal. That same evening, the women, in the same race, on the same handoff, on the last handoff, Tori Edwards and Lauren Williams also dropped the baton. And in just a brief span of time, the United States was limited from those events where they felt like they were going to do so well. And you know, it's interesting when you watch things like that and you think, you know, what could be so hard about passing a baton? What could be so hard about just giving this to someone else, right? And yet when you look at it and you think about it, and if you've ever trained for it, you realize it's not nearly as easy as it might look. You have to stay in your lane. You're running at full speed and trying to slow up while the next person's trying to start off and make sure that they don't exceed the exchange zone before you pass that baton. You have to pass it just right. You have to know if you've practiced passing it under, over, or straight ahead. You have to know how to put your hand back and what angle to put that hand at. There's so many things that have to happen in those three transitions. And not only do you have to do it once, you have to do it not twice, but 3 times in the matter of the race. And then you have to run fast. But many of us just think of those kind of races as just put the 4 fastest people on the track and naturally they're going to win. But there's so much more to it when you're talking about a relay. You see, the most important part of the race is the passing of the baton. It's usually where the race is won or lost. And it really illustrates the difference between individual events and relays. I mean, think about it, an individual event, you try to start strong, you run fast, you lean forward at the finish. That's what you do. But in a relay, there's so much more to it. You have to work as a team. And that's why sometimes just putting the best individuals together doesn't always work. A good relay team is one that knows how to work together. They know how to pass the baton. Because they understand if they don't pass the baton, they don't win the race. And really, that's what I want to build off this morning. That in our journey, as spiritual journey, as followers of Jesus, we've each, if you are a follower of Jesus, you have been given a baton. You've been given a baton. And what we choose to do with it is really, really important. It's really important. And so my challenge to us as we follow Jesus is don't just run, pass the baton. Don't just think this is an individual race where, as Paul talked about running a race, and it is, the Christian life is like running a race. It can get hard. It's like a marathon. It's not a sprint, and you've got to keep running. But it's not something that's meant to be an individual event. It's meant to be something that as we run, we should be continually handing the baton so that others can run the race as well. That's what Jesus wants us to do. There's another word for this idea of passing on the baton of faith. And the word is multiplication, and we see this all through God's story. And let me take just a couple of minutes to track it through the scriptures to help us see how important this is to God's heart that we be people who multiply. In the Old Testament, in Psalm 145, the psalmist writes, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom." We're talking about a God that we can't even imagine how great he really is. We hear the stories of redemption we just heard. That's how great he is, but he's greater than that. He's greater than we can even imagine. And he goes on to say, one generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. And the idea is, because you see God work in your life, you need to pass those stories on. You need to, parents, pass on to your children how you've seen God work in your life. Grandparents, you need to pass on to your grandchildren how you've seen God work in your life, because they need to know. And that's one of the greatest things that we can do as we age and we've seen God work in more and more ways. We can pass those stories on. We need to pass the baton. It's really the way God's story was passed down. They told the story on and on and on. Early on, people lived much longer and were able to pass the story on to multiple generations. This always staggers my mind when I think about it. But if you ever stop and read the genealogy of Genesis chapter 5, you know genealogies are so exciting to read in the Bible, right? But there is actually some fascinating information here, because in Genesis 5, what happens is that we're told from Adam to Noah, and we're told in the genealogical line when each next son was born and then when the person died. So you can figure out who was alive when in this genealogical chain. And as you look at it, you could see that Adam could sit at a table with eight generations of his descendants. Just let that sink in for a moment. Adam could sit at a table with eight generations of his descendants. He could tell the story, and eight generations could hear him. From his son to his great, 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 great grandson. Imagine that. Imagine that. You can understand how that history gets passed on. If you could do that today, that means you would be sitting down with an ancestor who lived in the Middle Ages. Think about that. You're sitting down at a table with great-great-great-great-great-grandpa, and he lived in the Middle Ages. I always think of the commercial with George Clooney stepping out of the night scene and into finding a cup of coffee, I think it is, that he's looking for. That's really kind of what you could do. You could sit down or hear about participating in the Crusades with Richard the Lionhearted. You could talk to someone who witnessed the construction of Notre Dame, the real one in Europe. We're attending the gathering of leaders in the Roman Catholic Church where Pope Urban II issued a decree forbidding the clergy to marry. You could be a part of that kind of history. You could have seen the Khmer Empire at its peak in what is now Cambodia and Vietnam, an area of the world where we invest in. Those are the kinds of things you could have heard of firsthand. Talk about history being passed on through primary sources. It would be amazing. It's like Ancestry.com on steroids. But this is also Jesus' strategy. It's his strategy to pass the baton from himself to others, and that they would continue to pass that baton. We see this in Matthew chapter 4 when Jesus calls his first disciples. He's walking along the Sea of Galilee. He sees two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They're casting a net into the lake because they're fishermen. They're doing their job. And Jesus changes their lives with one invitation. They will never be the same. And Jesus simply says, come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. Come, follow me, and I will pass you a baton. And then I will send you out to pass that baton to many, many other people. Because my vision is always not just about this person, but the people who will come after them as well. And they did exactly that. It would be to these same guys that Jesus would say later, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Now it's your turn to go out. Keep it going. Pass the baton. One of the stories that Jesus told was we call the parable of the sower. He talks about someone who goes out and scatters seed on the ground, and it falls on all these different kinds of soil. And the point of the story is how receptive the soil is to the seed. The seed represents the truth of the gospel, and the soil represents the people who hear and their different responses. And three of them have difficulty in their responses, but the last soil, Jesus says, others like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Multiplication. And I think of us, and I think, have we heard the word? Have we heard the good news of the gospel? Almost all of us, if not all of us in this room, have heard the good news. Many of us in this room have accepted the good news. Then we need to understand that Jesus' intention for us is that we multiply. And yes, some may multiply at different rates than others, but his call for all of us is that we would multiply, that we would pass the baton. Jesus' mission comes through loud and clear as he prepares to leave this earth in some of his last words to his disciples when he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, I'm sending you. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, of the Holy Spirit," something we'll be practicing in a couple of weeks, "and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age." It's as if Jesus was saying, "You've spent time with me, I've passed the baton to you, now it's your turn. You've got to choose to run and to pass it on to others, everyone, everywhere. Because everyone needs the opportunity to understand who Jesus is and what he has done for us and what he desires to do in our lives." And certainly one individual who got this was the Apostle Paul. He got it and he made a life of multiplying. He multiplied disciples as he shared the good news, and he would often travel with one or two or a group of people, and he would go to different cities and plant churches so he would continue to multiply the good news. And as Paul was drawing towards the end of his life, in the last letter we have that he wrote, of all the different letters of the New Testament and probably other correspondence that we don't have, this is the last record we have before he died. And it's in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and if you'd like to open your Bibles, it's page 1178 in the Pew Bible, but 2 Timothy chapter 2. You've been working through your journal, or maybe you've had your life group meeting on this topic for this week. You've looked at this verse, you've looked at this passage, and I just want to bring it to our attention once again. Paul's talking to someone that he loves. He loves Timothy. He's really Timothy's spiritual dad. He's helped Timothy come to faith and wants Timothy to step into all of the ministry that God has for him. Paul has passed the baton to Timothy, and now he's challenging Timothy, "It's your turn to pass the baton on to others." And he says this in verse 1, "Timothy, my dear son," note the relational terms, "be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus." Be strong. Keep running the race. Don't give up. Keep moving forward. "And as you're running," verse 2, this is what I want you to do, "you have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others." And you can see the links here in the chain, and you may have already discussed this in your groups, the idea of how Paul has passed the baton to Timothy. We see that mentioned here. "You've heard things, you have heard me." So Paul has taught Timothy, he's passed him the baton, and now he challenges Timothy, "Teach these truths to others." And then Paul has a vision even beyond that, who will be able to pass them to others. And I think the idea is that you just don't stop there. It is meant to continue to go forward, that everyone who receives that baton is to run with it and pass it on to someone else or multiple people. And that process is meant to continue. And it was something that Paul was extremely passionate about. Pass the baton. Pass the baton. As followers of Jesus, we are called to be those who share what he has done in our lives and to pass the baton to others. In my story, as I was thinking about it in light of this message, and we all have a story. Rob shared part of his story, and others, we all have a story. And for me, I'm very blessed, and I recognize this, to come from a long legacy of faith. And I recognize that that's not true for everybody. But if you here as a follower of Jesus, you've been given a baton. And I can track mine back at least a couple of generations and hearing stories of my grandfather gathering my dad and his two brothers in his study and praying over them that God would use them in ministry. Two of them became pastors, one became a missionary, so I guess God answered his prayer. And my point isn't that you have to go into professional ministry for God to use you. Please don't think that. God uses everyone in every capacity if they just yield themselves to him. That's just the way it worked out for them. And then my dad raises a family where the three of us are followers of Jesus in the different ways that God has called us to do that. For me, it's been in leadership in the church, and I've been privileged to be a part of that. Jody and I now have four children, and we are called to pass the baton of faith on to them so that they can understand what it means to follow Jesus, and they can see it lived out in us. And believe me, it's not done perfectly by a far shot. Many things I would love to see them better in me. But the bottom line is I understand the responsibility of passing on that baton of faith and saying, it's worth it. It's worth it. Because I don't want the baton to stop with me. And my challenge to us all is don't let it stop with you. Running the race is not an individual sport. It's a team sport. and it's meant to be passed, and that's a part of our responsibility. And even now to see it in my sister's son, and now he's married, and they have a little one, Lucas, and they're passing the baton of faith to him. The generations are just continuing to go on. So blessed to be a part of that chain. And I'm blessed it's not only just on my side, but on Jody's side, she has the same kind of chain in her life. And I recognize again that that may not be your situation, but the bottom line is, if you're a follower of Jesus, someone passed you the baton. You've got a chain going. And you decide whether or not you're going to keep it going. That's the choice that we all get to make. What's your story? How many links do you know in your chain? You can probably go back at least one. Could you go back more? Could you reflect on how God has brought the baton to you and who is the one who passed that faith? Was it a family member who maybe prayed with you as a child, or was it a coworker who shared their faith with you at work when you were going through a difficult time and you knew there was something different about that person and you went and said, hey, I just need help. And maybe they shared with you and they passed that baton to you. Maybe it was a teacher. Maybe it was a coach. Maybe, who knows? But we all have stories of how it's happened for us. And the challenge is, who are we passing it to? You see, at some point we received the baton. We reached out and we took it from someone's hand. And now we have it. And we are running the race, the spiritual race that God has called us to do. And what do we decide to do with this? Do we just hold on to it? Or do we understand that in this race, God designed me to be able to move towards someone, someone who is looking for his gospel, for hope, for peace, for joy. And I get to give it to him, not because I have it in and of myself, but because I've discovered it. Someone gave it to me, and I found it to be real and to be true. And I get to reach out to someone else and hand that baton off to them and have the great joy of seeing them begin to run. You see, once you hand the baton off, I mean, I know this breaks down now, it breaks down a little bit, but you're cheering the person you just handed to run, go, because this is part of the race. I've done my part. Now I'm handing off to you to do your part. Now in our spiritual lives, we don't stop running when we hand the baton. We keep going. And there's actually multiple people that we can hand off the baton to, not just one. It's a great privilege that we have. Are we taking advantage of it? I want to offer you a suggestion as to how you might be able to do this. And this is just one, but this builds on what we've been doing in our life groups. As many of you have been asking what comes next, and at least for the Christmas season, we have an opportunity for you to get involved in an Advent devotional. And it looks like this. It's something that we've adapted from another ministry, and we're going to be making available to you on the 24th of November at our All Together service. And you'll have the opportunity to work through it. There's a devotional each week leading up to Christmas, starting December 1st and going all the way up, and then a separate devotional for Christmas Day. And this is something that you can certainly do as a life group if you would want to. I know many of you are talking about what comes next. Do we keep meeting every week? And I know for many of the groups that you may find it difficult to maintain that kind of pace. I understand that. And maybe you want to make it every other week or whatever works for your schedule. But let me just say this about it. If you're experiencing something transformative in your life group, I'm guessing for some of you, you want to keep meeting every week. And you'll make the time to make that happen. And I'm not saying it has to be for everybody. But what I am saying is, when something stirs us, when something grabs a hold of us, we want to create time for that. And if that's happening for you as a group, go for it. Because what a great opportunity. But whether you meet every week, every other week, whatever you choose to do, it's an option for you to move through it. One of the things I like about it is that it's designed also for families. So it's something that parents can do with their kids, especially their younger children. And each devotional is tied into one of the readings in the Jesus Storybook Bible. And so I want to encourage you, if you have children maybe 4 to 8, 9 years old, and you'd like to do this as a family, once a week just gather and do this as a devotional, that you move towards getting a copy if you don't have already of the Jesus Storybook Bible. It's a great tool to use beyond these weeks, but each of the devotionals is actually tied into one of the stories in the Jesus Storybook Bible. It's a great tool for you to be able to use. So you've got lots of options. You can do it as a life group. You can do it as a family. And what I really want to challenge you to do is begin thinking, could I just grab 2-3 people, maybe 1 or 2 people, and just do this with them once a week over the December season? Could I take the baton that's been handed to me through my life group or through the challenge that I've received through this series and realize that I have an opportunity and maybe this is a tool that could help me to be able to pass that baton? I don't know. Would God lead you to ask a couple of coworkers to say, hey, would you just like to do this thing on Christmas? You'll get in time to look over it ahead of time and see how you want to do it. It's very simple. It's very easy to use. Just some scripture to read, some questions to ask, some reflections. And maybe that's a great opportunity for you to grab a couple of people and to do this with them as your way to pass the baton. Later on in the book of 2 Timothy, in chapter 4, Paul, departing words as he kind of closed off this letter or began to move towards the end, and he knew his time was coming, and he's going to say it. He says in verse 6, as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. I've gone through it, and I know I'm coming towards the end. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. And Paul knew that his time of passing the baton was coming to an end. He wouldn't have that opportunity anymore. But he knew that because of his faithfulness, there was a prize that awaited him, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. Paul looked forward to the idea that there would be a prize for the race. And his faithfulness of passing the baton. And he goes on to say, and the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. For all who are taking advantage of these opportunities to pass the baton. For all who are doing what God has called them to do. And if you are a follower of Jesus, someone passed the baton to you. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? As you sit there with that baton of faith, the good news of the gospel that someone shared with you, what are you doing with it? And over this Christmas season, and really as a result of this 6 weeks that we've been working through, it's all been pointing towards this, that you would take the opportunities that God puts in front of you as you run the race to hand the baton to someone else. Parents, no one has a greater opportunity than you do to hand the baton of faith to your kids. No one. It doesn't matter, especially at a young age, but even as they get older, it may feel like they don't listen to you. They still view you as highly influential in their lives. You have the opportunity to live out in front of them through word and deed what it means to follow Jesus, to pass the baton of faith. Grandparents, you have a significant opportunity, especially if your grandkids are close to you, but even in creative ways if they're not, to pass the baton of your faith. To think about how I can do that in a way that demonstrates the love that I have for my grandkids and pass that baton to them, supporting perhaps what parents are already doing. Maybe the parents aren't, and you're the opportunity to do that in their lives. Pass the baton. We go to work every day. Would you go with the mindset of holding a baton in your hand and asking God who you're supposed to hand it to? When you go to school every day, are there people on your teams, in your classes, at your lunch that need this baton? They may not be acting like, they may not be asking you for it, but there's a hole in their life that you know only Jesus can fill. Come alongside them and ask God, would you give me the privilege of passing the baton to them? Because as followers of Jesus, that is his mission for us. That's his heart for people, that he would use us to be someone who would reach out to others and draw them into his forever family. Because everyday disciples don't just run, they pass the baton. And that's God's call for us. I want to give us some time just to reflect and pray before we go into our next song. So if you could just close your eyes and just have this time to think. I want to lead you through something, if you would. And if you are a follower of Jesus, would you reflect right now on who passed the baton to you? It may be one person, it may be multiple people, but would you just reflect on that? And would you just take a moment to thank God for those people? And now would you reflect, if you're a follower of Jesus, it means you have the gospel, the good news about who Jesus is, the fact that he came to this earth, he lived a perfect life, and then gave that life as a sacrifice for us to pay the debt of our sin so that we wouldn't have to fall under God's judgment, but that instead God's grace and mercy could be poured out upon us because Jesus took the penalty. That's the good news of the gospel. As we respond in faith to that and invite Jesus to be our rescuer, we become a part of God's family. And if that's true for you, then you have the baton. You're holding it. It's been given to you as a precious gift, and you've received it. And so now would I just challenge you to ask God right now for the courage to say, I want to pass the baton. Would you show me what that means, what that looks like? If this using the Advent devotional or another means or whatever it might be as God would move in your life, would you say, Jesus, I want to pass the baton, and ask him to show you what that looks like? Would you just take a moment to do that? Jesus, you are so worth it. Forgive us for the times we get distracted onto other side missions. And we forget that what you have truly redeemed us for, you've rescued us not just to experience your blessings, but to pass those blessings on to others. And there is no greater blessing that we can pass on than that of the gospel, the good news of how others can be rescued by you. I love your heart, Jesus, that you made it clear when you left that this gospel is for everyone. It's for those like us and those different than us. It's for those that we might like and those that we might not like. It's for those within our own family, those in our workplaces, in our schools, where we go to hang out. You've called us to be people who pass the baton. You've called that of us as a church here at Davisville. You've called that of us as life groups in the ways that we're engaging in our community and serving, enjoying being together, inviting others to be a part of that. You've called us to do that as families, with each other and then with others around us. You've called us to do that as individuals, as those who are running the race. May we never forget that it's not an individual sport. It's a relay. It involves a team, and we are a link in that chain, and it's so vital that we pass the baton. And so would you help us to do that? We have fears. We have our own hang-ups and failures. We have 100 reasons why we don't think we should reach out with it. But God, you can overcome all of those things because you did it with us. Somebody reached out to us. And you use that to bring us into your family. And so give us faith to believe that you're still doing that today. And that you want us to be a part of that grand mission, that grand greater story, as a part of our everyday discipleship, as a part of our everyday following you. And so Lord, help us because you are great. There is no one like you. Help us to recount what you have done to future generations. Help us to pass the baton. And as we sing this song, may we sing it with hearts inspired, not just by who you are, but ready to obey what you've called us to do. May you help us. May you bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.